unbelievers by the Spirit, by the power of the gospel. I pray that they would be true Christians, believing in all you've done for them, Jesus, obeying your commands and loving one another. Raise them up to be faithful believers, that the world may know that they belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here they are. All right. Right, y'all can go back and sit down. Thank y'all so much. Thank you. All right. Okay, so if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to call this faith, love, and obedience in the believer's life. Faith, love, obedience in the believer's life. You see, just like we talked about with our kids, there are sure ways of knowing that we are believers or Christians. Now, the way John is going to talk about it is he's going to use the word born of God, or born again, born anew, born from above. He's going to use that way of talking as believers. Believers are born of God. We have a new life that God gives us. And there are some marks, some signs that we see that tell us whether or not we are true believers. You see, John is very, very, very concerned with helping his readers know that, in fact, they belong to God. He wants them to know it. He doesn't want them to be paralyzed in their walk with God and always wondering whether or not they are or are not His. He wants them to be thinking, to be examining, and also to be assured that they are children of God. And John is presenting this in the way that we can know. And I'm convinced many, many, many Christians, for the most part, approach their relationship with God as a question mark. They're not entirely sure if you are really to press them on things. Apparently, there were some believers that John knew, that John loved, that John cared deeply about. Perhaps they had some question marks. They weren't really sure. Perhaps there were some people saying, well, these are some ways that you know. And then there's another group saying, well, these are the ways you know. And John wants them to know, here's how you know if you are a believer. So our text is 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. Follow with me, please. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, Messiah, anointed one, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of the Father. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh, Father, would you grant us illumined hearts by the working of your Holy Spirit to know whether or not we are born again. For we cannot see the kingdom nor enter the kingdom unless we are born again. Teach us today. Speak to us today. Bring life today. Perform the new birth that only you can give. Would you grant this for your glory today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. You can bring up that first slide. We have true believers are born of God, or true believers are born again. Well, what are the signs? How can we know? Are there things in the text that tell us, here's how you know if you're a true believer? And for John, a true believer is someone born of God, or born again, or born anew, or born from above. There are signs here that we can look at in the text to know whether or not we belong to God and have been birthed of God spiritually. Now, the first sign we see is faith. Faith. Now, it's not just faith just to have faith. It's faith in a person who has accomplished something on our behalf. You see, we live in a society that many and most and the majority of people would ascribe some kind of faith to quote-unquote God. They would say that they believe in God in some way, shape, form, or fashion. They believe maybe He's there. They believe maybe that He exists. They believe that maybe He's up, way up there, kind of taking care of things. Perhaps they may even believe that He takes care of the big things. Maybe most people think, oh, He's not going to be concerned with the small things in my life. But a lot of people would ascribe some kind of faith to God. So when we talk of faith as a sign for the true believer, how do we know? It means that there is believing, trusting, and full reliance on Jesus. You see, it's never enough to just say, I believe in God, stop. No, no. It is whether or not we are believing. It is whether or not we are trusting in. It is, are we fully relying upon Jesus as what? Both the Christ and the Son of God. You see it in verse 1 and in verse 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So the one born again believes, has faith in someone who is something for them. That Jesus is who He says He is. That He's the Son of God, divine. Been looking at that all through John's letter. And that He is the Christ, anointed one, Messiah, prophesied in the Old Testament, fulfilled in His life, ministry, death, and resurrection. We must believe and continue to believe and continue to fully rely on what Jesus, on who Jesus is and what He's done for us. That's a sign of the believer. When people start to get off track with who Jesus is, when they start to kind of repaint or talk differently about Jesus and what He's done for us, those are danger signs. Those are danger signs. Why? Because the one born of God, who has the Spirit of God, which leads them in the truth of God, will confess the truth of Jesus Christ. That He is the Son of God, and He is the Christ, the Messiah. What does it mean that Jesus is the Anointed One and the Christ? A very simple way to kind of put that together is that He is the promised and fulfilled prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. He gives the Word of God. He explains the will of God perfectly. He's the Word of God made flesh. When Jesus goes about teaching, the response is, no one's ever taught like this man. He's the prophet. He's the perfect spokesman for who God is and what the will of God is and what truth is. He's the priest. He's the one who stands between for us. He's the one that intercedes for us before the throne of God. He's not just the priest, He's also the sacrifice that's offered. He is the sacrifice and He's the priest. He's the priest presenting the sacrifice of Himself, perfect without blemish, as the Lamb of God that satisfies the law of God. And He is interceding for us as the priest. He's the one we look to have acceptance with God as our priest, the one in our place with His righteousness, not our own. And He is also the one presenting the perfect sacrifice of Himself, because our righteousness will not please God. Our works will not please God. But the work of Jesus does please and will always please the Father fully. So our faith must be attached to the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done for us in His perfect sinless life, in His sacrificial death, in His satisfying the wrath of God, in His fully obeying God to the end, in becoming a curse for us, being delivered up for us, taking the punishment that was ours in our place, exchanging that freely by grace through faith. You see, the true believer and the born again man or woman of God believes that Jesus and fully relies on what Jesus has done for them. They fully rely. Next, what's the sign? We see the sign of love. True believers have this sign of love about them. It's love for God and love for the children of God, is the way John talks about it here. Love for God, love for the children of God. And then he doubles down on it and says, love for the Father and the Father's children. Just in case you missed it. So verse 1 and 2 teach us this, about this great love that must be evident and expressed in the believer's life. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of the Father, the children of God. So a sign of the believer is we love God. We love the Father. And we not only love God and the Father, we love the people and children that the Father has born, has birthed anew. You see, if we're going to love God, John tells us consistently that we must love one another. He just said, we just looked at, he says, how can you love God whom you haven't seen if you can't love your brother who you can see? That's the reasoning. So to love God, we must also love those born of God. We must love the Father and His children. We must love God and His family. You see, if you don't love the brothers and sisters, you have room to question whether or not your love for God is sincere. If you have problems with brothers and sisters in the faith family, then perhaps there's a problem with you and the Father, because the New Testament obligates us to love one another because we've been born of God. It is not optional. It's an obligation placed on the one born of God. So faith is a sign, love is a sign, obedience is also a sign. This is the love of God that we keep His commandments. Look in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. So how do we know? When we love God and obey His commandments. So the born again person loves the Father and loves His children. How do we know that we love the children? We obey His commands. It's all connected. We love God. We love the Father. We love people born of God. We love the children of God. Well, how do we know we love the children of God? He says, by obeying or keeping His commandments. And then he doubles down in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. You see, we don't think of obedience as love for God. We think love of God, Jesus on the cross, God demonstrated His love for us. True statement? John says it. But oftentimes where we don't go when we think about the love of God, or at least personally for me, I don't always go to, this is the love of God that we obey His commandments. I am more prone to, this is the love of God demonstrated in Jesus Christ when He suffered, He bled, and He died. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Gave His Son that we might live through Him. See, John says these same things also. But it's very important for us to know that if we are going to call ourselves, if we are going to be sure of our adoption in the family of God, that we're born again, if we're going to be sure of that, we must be about obeying His commands. And then what does He say? We obey His commands and they aren't burdensome. Now that's a whole other ballgame too, isn't it? I mean, because we all know we can obey and complain about it. Right? When your wife asks you to do something and you're sitting in your recliner, maybe the game's on. You can do what she says, you better. You can do what she says with love, or you can do what she says and grumble about it. Now, you tell me what's more honorable. Same thing with the Lord. You see, we can obey and do right things, and it be a burden to us. But the sign of the believer, the sign of the one born of God, is that we will obey God and it's not a burden for us. We obey God because we love God. We obey God because we delight in Him. So this other sign is obey. The last sign that we see from the text, faith, love, obedience, overcome. True believers overcome. Look in verse 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Three times. Overcome, overcome, overcome. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So there's an overcoming about the true believer who's born of God. What do true believers overcome? Well, throughout John's letter, we don't necessarily know in this passage per se, but we do know earlier in John's letter, he's addressing things that true believers do in fact overcome, or that we will overcome. All throughout, he says we can overcome these false teachers, these antichrist, the evil one, and sin. All throughout the letter. He even says in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, speaking of the young men, I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. He says it again in 14, I write to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. John's also going to tell us, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The believer overcomes, not blamelessly, not with perfection, not without falling and stumbling. The key word, ultimately. Ultimately, they overcome. Not perfectly. We don't overcome sin perfectly this side of heaven. We don't overcome false teaching perfectly this side of heaven. We don't overcome the evil one every single time. But ultimately, we do and will. Why? How can you be so sure that we overcome? Because God tells us in His Word, the one born of God overcomes the world. We do, in fact, overcome the world. Now, John has told us earlier in the letter to not love the world and to not love the things in the world. Lust of eyes, lust of flesh, pride of life. These things are not from the Father. They are from the world. So where is our affection? Where is our affection? Is it love for the world and the things thereof and pride and lust and flesh? Or is there a love for the Father? Is there a love for the things of God? Is obedience a delight or is it a burden? You see, we overcome. How do we overcome? And he tells us the answer, by faith. By faith we overcome. How can you be so sure of victory as a believer? You've been born of God, number one. Number two, your faith is the victory that overcomes, according to John in verse 4. Everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now again, faith primarily in the person and work of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Christ. That faith in the believer born again brings about victory and overcoming the world. Not perfectly, but ultimately in the believer's life. Meaning they ultimately won't fall away. They ultimately won't fall away. Seasons, perhaps. But they won't ultimately fall away. Why? Because God has given them life. That's why. God made somebody dead alive. That's why. God Almighty breathed into the soul and spirit to bring a new birth. And that seed of life will not die. It will not die. It overcomes according to the Scriptures. So by faith, and here we have it. Faith is the victory that overcomes. Why? Because Jesus is our victory and He has overcome. That's why. That's why we can say faith overcomes the world, because Jesus, the one in whom our faith relies, He has victory and has overcome the world. And when we are united to the victor, we have victory. We have it. Not maybe, kind of, sort of, hope so. Hope it kind of pans out in the end. No. He is victorious. And you are joined to Him and He to you by a supernatural birth adoption in the family. So just as He is our victory and has overcome, so our faith overcomes. How? Bring up this next slide. How? I mean, how are we born again? Well, praise the Lord, we have some answers. We don't have to make it up, think, kind of give it our best shot. We have some answers. According to John, in John chapter 3, verses 4 and 8, when Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus, great master, teacher, ruler, guy of the Pharisees, comes by night, realizes something's up about this Jesus teacher. Maybe God is with him with all these miracles he's doing. He says, all right, you got to tell us and explain some things. And then Jesus from the get-go says, hey, you can't even see the kingdom unless you've been born of God. Throws Nicodemus for a loop. He says, how in the world, if you're old, can you be born again? I mean, we just go back to our mother's womb and, I mean, how does that happen, Jesus? And then when you keep reading, Jesus rebukes him for not understanding and knowing. He said, look, you're the teacher in Israel and you don't understand and get this stuff. Why? Because Old Testament pointed to it in Ezekiel. But Jesus says, we must be born. How are we born again? We must be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then he gives this illustration. He says, you know, like how the wind blows. Like how the wind blows. Like you can see trees sway in and you can maybe see leaves fall in. You know the wind's blowing. Like you can feel it. You know something's happening. I mean, you might not can explain where it's coming from and where is it going and why is it strong and weak and why is it circling and why does it change directions and all that kind of stuff. We don't understand all there is, which is why it's a mystery, which is why Jesus says it's like the wind. To be born again by the Spirit, probably a word play there, wind, spirit, breath. He said, you may not always be able to explain or program it. Well, how can we not program it? Because it's supernatural. It's supernatural. The wind blows. And you just know it happens. Even if you can't explain everything when it happens, you know it happens. By the Spirit. Supernatural work of God is where Jesus goes. He says you must be born of the Spirit. You must be born of the water, not baptism. Cleansing, washing, renewing. Old and New Testament have that language, washing of regeneration in Titus chapter 3. So we must be born again by the Word, by the Spirit, and by the water. Or where are we getting this Word from? Peter tells us that. Peter says we are born again, not of incorruptible seed, or not of corruptible seed, but we are born again of an incorruptible, never perishing seed, which is what, Peter? The living and abiding Word of God. 1 Peter 1. 23. So John tells us we're born again by the Spirit, by water, by a supernatural work of God, not man, in chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Peter goes on to say, another apostle, right? By God's great mercy we've been born again. I read that to start the service. And by the living and abiding Word of God we are born again. Well, what does Paul say about being born again in Ephesians chapter 2? He says, you are dead. He says, we were all dead in our sin and transgression. What happened? He made us alive together with one who lives, Jesus Christ. Explanation, by grace are you saved. I.e., supernatural work of God that we can't earn or take credit for. So, it is by the Word, it is by the great mercy of God, it is the supernatural work of God, there's cleansing as water sprinkles and washes, and then there's by the Spirit we are born again and born of God. So here's where we end. Last slide. As you're before me, you need to think of these few things. Are these signs evident in your life? Are they evident? Dear congregation, you have to ask yourself that. I mean, are those marks clear in your life? Are they? Are you believing and fully relying on the person and work of Jesus? Have you been supernaturally birthed again? Maybe not can explain it. You just know that you have life and you once were dead. Maybe you used to just love the world and now you don't. That's a sign. Obedience, love, affections, new heart change. Love, obedience, faith, overcoming. I mean, are you overcoming in your walk? Are you just like always bound? There are clear signs we need to be asking ourselves. You can finish with this last slide, if you could bring that up. We'll just camp out here, think through some things. Are these signs evident in your life? And here's the thing. If they're not, then come to Christ. Well, preacher, that kind of sounds simple. If you do not possess the signs of new life, come to Christ, who is the life giver. He will in no wise cast you out if you come. But you must come. Not everybody does, but you must. And you can. If you want life new, if something in you says, that's what I want, that's what I need, that's what I've got to have, then the Bible says, come to Christ. Come. Come. Just come to Him. And all who will come, He's not going to cast you out. If you come, This same John tells us in his gospel that he will in no wise cast us out. Great hopeful passage for those not born again, perhaps seeking life. But to all who did receive him, who believed